Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. And now, Star Fuentes.
Welcome. What a very interesting week we have with the astrological energies and the eclipse. We've had some of our biggest solar flares on Tuesday night, and many people complained about not being able to sleep. And the aurora borealis has spread for an extra 500 or 600 miles. And you know as well as I know that the moon affects people, that the full moon does, and that the solar flares do also.
Hey, Star.
Yes?
We got Allison on.
What? Hello, this is Star.
Hi, Star. It's Allison Carmen.
Hi, Allison. I'm so pleased to have you here this evening. I was just talking about the energy this week with the solar flares and the astrological and the eclipse. And Allison, we have mutual friends, Alan Steinfield, Jody Sirota, correct?
Yes, I love them, yes.
Yes. So, Allison, what was your greatest spiritual experience this lifetime? Do you want to share that with my audience, please, and me?
Oh, sure. You know, I think that things have led me to my greatest experience, my spiritual experience, and I think that one of the things that's helped me the most is this idea of maybe that I talk about in my book. And I think the reason why it was so profound for me is it enabled me to become present in my life. And I think when you're present in your life, that's when you really open up. And that's where you get to know who you really are. And you get to sit with yourself and sit with the depth of your soul. And so for me, it was this whole idea of finding this concept and philosophy that led me to a place where I could be closer to my true self.
Well, it's very astounding, the gift of maybe. And I see your books coming out very, very soon, and I've read a little bit of your blogs. And just recently, last weekend, I worked with an engineer who is developing a trinary computer. So the answers are either yes, no, or maybe. And they take different paths than a yes-no computer and offer different opportunities. So tell me about the philosophy of the gift of maybe.
Well, first I'd like to, I think the most interesting part of the most interesting concept about maybe is how I came to it. And I always say that I was addicted to certainty. I needed to know what was going to happen next in my life. And if I didn't know, I projected things were going to be bad or things wouldn't work out. And I think a lot of people live that way. They live with this fear that if they don't know what's going to happen next, they project the worst is on its way. And I think what we all do to alleviate this fear is we write stories about what needs to happen for us to be okay. We might think to ourselves, I need to have this job until I retire. Or I need to have this amount of money in the bank when I'm 50. Or my child needs to go to this college to be okay. And we hold on to these stories really tightly to give us ground, to make us feel better. But we all know life has the unexpected. And these stories we write don't always happen. Sometimes we lose that job, or sometimes we don't have the money that we thought we were going to have, or our child doesn't get into that college. And it's very hard for us to then deal with it. And I think intellectually, most of us know that when one door closes, another one opens, but emotionally, we don't know this. And that's why we spin out of control when we're faced with the unexpected. So for me in my life, I spun my own story because I was so worried that things weren't going to work out in my life. I wrote this huge story when I was young that I was going to become an attorney. And I was going to get a job at a large law firm. I was going to make a lot of money. I was going to marry this great guy, and my life was going to be great. And I was going to know everything that was going to happen because it was all going to be wonderful. And I actually remember I actually went to law school, and I remember remember walking to work today. I got the job at the big law firm overlooking Central Park in Manhattan, and I'm thinking, wow, I've arrived. Life is great. And the second day of work, my office mate came in and said, Allison, did you hear? They're going to fire half the first years. And I was a first year. So all of a sudden, my head starts to spin. What happens if they fire me? What are my parents going to think? How am I going to pay my rent? And even though they didn't fire me, I never quite recovered from that level of anxiety. It just never went back to, because my story was broken, because I realized that I could lose my job and there was still the unexpected. So then I would worry there was going to be a terrorist attack in New York City. I would continuously worry I'd lose my job. I wasn't going to get a raise. My husband would leave me. And all these worries started to accumulate within me, and I stopped sleeping, and my immune system became compromised. So I started to run to all these doctors saying, you have to help me. There's something wrong with me. And they took all this blood work, and they said, there's nothing wrong with you. But they gave me this little blue pill and said, this is for your anxiety, and I'm sure you'll be better in a couple of days. But I just couldn't accept that. And even the pill made me anxious. So I started to change my diet, and I started to do acupuncture, and I found some balance in my life. But the minute something unexpected happened in my life, I spun out of control again. And one day, it all changed when I heard this story, and I'm sure you've heard this story before. It's about this farmer, and he has a horse, and his horse runs away. And his neighbor comes by and says, you have the worst luck. And the farmer said, maybe. And the next day, the farmer's horse comes back with 5 mares. And the neighbor comes by and says, you have the best luck. And the farmer's like, maybe. And the next day, the farmer's son is on the horse, but he falls off and breaks his leg. So the neighbor comes by and says, you have the worst luck. And the farmer's like, maybe. And the next day, the army comes to take the son to war, but it can't because his leg is broken. And the neighbor comes by and says to the farmer, you have the best luck. And the farmer said, maybe. And in the Taoist tradition, the story means that things change. There's neither good or bad. But for me, maybe because I'm from the West, when I heard that story, I actually felt a pop in my chest. And all of a sudden, I was filled with so much hope and possibility, because in my life, I was always so worried that the horse was going to run away that it never occurred to me that he could come back and come back with more gifts. So I went home that day, and I started to throw every worry I had against this idea of maybe. I had just started a consulting business. I'm never going to have enough clients. I'm never going to make enough money. And then with this idea of maybe, I realized that there's always something else. Maybe things will get better. Maybe things are okay. Maybe life is good. Who knows? But there's more than one way in life, and we forget that. So when I found maybe, my whole life opened up, and I became a hopeful person, and I became a possible thinker, and it really changed everything for me.
Well, I think that the maybe is very, very powerful, and this addiction to certainty is also balanced by an addiction to flow that, you know, that can be really good or really not so good. And people will spend their rent money, and they'll say, oh, the angels will bring me rent money, or, you know, I mean, people addicted to believing that they're going to win the lottery,
right,
or that something other than themselves is going to change their life.
Right. No, you're right, because
so there's
we don't feel okay.
The addiction to flow, and people don't realize that flow comes from inner you. Just like
right.
The maybe has to be from the inner you. If you have a tight picture where your picture is a lawyer, then being a healer won't ever fit in that picture,
right,
which you are now.
Right. No, you're so right, and I love how you just said that, because deep down we don't feel safe and we don't feel okay. And that's why we're always running to all these other things to save us, because we're looking for ground on the outside. And for me, it was this idea of maybe that opened up the hope and possibility that I'm not doomed, that something else could happen. But it also allowed me to find an inner certainty, which is ironic, right? That, you know, I cured my addiction to certainty on the outside, but what maybe did on the inside, it allowed me to say, well, maybe I'm okay. And maybe I can do this. And maybe what happened to me yesterday, if I'm worried about my past, maybe what happened yesterday will never happen again. Maybe what my friend said about me 10 years ago isn't true. And it made me, enabled me to let go of all those fears and worries and start to understand who I really was as a human being and as a spirit and as a soul. So I agree with you. It's, we need to let go of these addictions on the outside to find our true self on the inside.
And what is your website?
It's AllisonCarmen.com.
And all, both of those are spelled just exactly how we think we should spell them, correct?
Yes, all is on, AllisonCarmen.com.
You know, when people really get stuck, they really, really have a certain picture, a certain way, a certain certain path that they want. And they get stuck because they can't step into maybe it's time to do something different.
Right.
Maybe it's time to be passionate about another type of business. When people get stuck, they're really stuck in a belief system that no longer
right.
serves them. And maybe it's such a wonderful tool to step out of that stuckness.
Right. No, absolutely, because I think that there are some people in the world that have faith, and faith is really what we all want. We're just okay. We know we're okay, so whatever happens, we'll deal with it. And some people get faith from religion, and some people get it from spirituality, and some people really were just born with it. But those of us who don't have faith, we write stories, and we write beliefs about what needs to happen for us to be okay. And that's why we hold on so tight, and that's why because we're worried that things aren't going to work out. So like you were saying, that's why people can't move around and then they get very linear about what needs to happen. And with maybe what you're able to do is it's almost like a cognitive faith. You're able to say, okay, this is not happening in my life. This didn't work out, but maybe something else will. Maybe I could try something new. So it allows you to have a larger perspective on life, that you see things can change. You still have a goal. There's nothing wrong with a goal, but life has twists and turns. And so with maybe we allow ourselves to let go of these beliefs and hang out in a wider space so more things could happen.
And you do consulting work, right? So somebody could call you and you could coach them. Is that a possibility, or are you full?
Oh no, I'm always open. I do lectures and I do consulting, and I actually am in this just to help people. I wrote the book, The Gift of Maybe, which is actually available now, just to help. It maybe helped me alleviate so much of my own suffering that I just felt if I could share it with other people, maybe it would help alleviate their suffering so they become more present, open to their own life.
Well, I think I'm going to purchase the book. It looks very, very powerful, but I think your website said it wasn't quite out yet. So maybe I'll get it tomorrow. Probably.
Maybe I need to look at my website.
You know, I'm guilty of not looking at mine either. So Allison, tell me more about your spiritual life. Tell me more so our listeners get a little bit more intimate view of you than we can just see on the webpage. And usually when people want to participate, they want to know you just a little bit better. What can you tell us about your life and your beliefs?
Well, that's a really good question. I really try to look at life. There are three things I find that help me the most in my life. And the first is my level of awareness. When I think that we're all born aware, I just think that we have a lot of noise in our mind and a lot of thoughts that doesn't allow us to really see things as they are. And again, because we're always grasping because we're afraid and we need to know things will be okay. So when I kind of was able to release this idea through maybe, I was able to become more aware of what was really happening in my life, what was really happening within myself, within my family, within my community. And I also have a very strong practice of gratitude, because I find that when I'm able to have a practice of gratitude, I'm able to show up and look at life for what is happening and instead of what's not happening. I think that's another thing a lot of us do, that we're so worried we're not okay, we're always focusing on the things that are wrong. And with the practice of gratitude, it always reminds me of where I actually stand in this moment. And it's almost like I always say, it's like going into a kitchen, and I could say my kitchen's dirty because there are dirty dishes in the sink, or instead I could open up the cabinets and look to see most of my dishes are clean. So I like to look at life that way. I find that when I come from that place, I'm out of a fear-based thinking. I'm more of an aware person. I'm more grateful, and I'm more open to what life has to offer. And then I always try to look at life with maybe. And I try to not get stuck into these little corners of my mind where this is bad and this is good, because I don't really know what's happening. But I do know that life is filled with hope and possibility. So through awareness, gratitude, and maybe, I find that I'm able to come to the present without all my fear-based thoughts. I'm able to be open, more kind, more loving. And I just try my best every day to make the world a better place.
Well, that sounds very, very appropriate for you. I noticed that you have so many, many interesting little blogs there, and that Psychology Today and the New York Journal, or was it New York Times, quoted you today, and you work, you're often on Huffington, and you've been able to touch people in many, many different ways. I was noticing one blog, the title is getting out of my mind, but I will say something about vacationing with children.
Oh.
And how the unexpected happens. And it seems like you have a lot of experience with children.
I'm so glad that you brought that up, because out of all the areas where maybe has helped me, it has to do with parenting. Because there's nothing we want more than our children to be okay. Even more than ourselves, but we can't control our children, right? They're their own people, right? And at the same time, we can't control their experiences. And so, how do we come to that with strength and a strong foundation, and not worry all the time, and not get crazy all the time, and also we have our own expectations, not just about them being okay, but how we want them to be. So this piece that I wrote was just about a vacation that we all went on, and I was really excited, and I spent time planning it, and we just went to Disney. It was a small vacation, but you know, we have expectations in life that we're going to book this trip and our kids are going to have a great time and the family's going to be happy and we're always going to remember it. And the second day of the trip, my daughter came back down with an awful stomach virus. So there I was, you know, stuck in this little room at Disney with my daughter being very sick. And I remember I went out on the terrace and I heard all these kids laughing and they were having such a good time. And I just lost my way. I had thoughts like, you know, it's not fair. Why do they get to have a good time and we need to be sitting in this room, and why did we spend all this money and this was a bad idea? And I kind of lost all sense. I think that happens to a lot of us sometimes. Even when we do have a spiritual practice, when unexpected events happen in our lives, we kind of lose our way. And then I came back into the room, and I don't know what happened. I just was able to kind of shift my perspective. I guess I saw my daughter's eyes, and I saw she was trying to make a little smile on her face, and all of a sudden I caught myself, and I went back to this awareness of what was really happening in the moment. And also gratitude, that there was so much to be grateful for, and then I went into my maybe statements. Maybe everything is okay. Maybe it'll get better. Maybe there's something more in this moment than I even recognize. What else is left for us on this vacation? And when I shifted my mind and I went to this maybe place, things really changed. And I realized we're all together. I also have another daughter as well. We're all together. What can we do? And we made the best of it. And, you know, we ordered in food. And, well, my daughter, of course, couldn't eat. And, you know, we watched TV, old reruns of all these shows. And we just made the best of what could possibly be in the moment. And I think that's what parenting is about. It's about trying to stay present even when you're scared or even when you're disappointed, and staying hopeful at the same time, because we forget often when we're going through a difficult time, we forget everything always changes. And within that change, there's hope and possibility. And just because things aren't working out exactly as you planned, it doesn't mean it's still not okay in the moment, and doesn't mean that tomorrow won't offer you something new. And that's been the biggest gift for me, to always recognize that and always have that maybe, so I could not get so stressed and worried about what's going on with my children, and stay hopeful and teach them to be hopeful about the world, because they often come to me as well when they're watching the TV. They'll come to me, they'll see something on the TV that scares them about the news, what's going on in the Middle East or what's happening with Ebola. And for me, I always want to be honest with them. I want to tell them, well, this is what's going on in the world, but I also want to give them something else. And with the idea of maybe, they always know that no matter what's happening in the world, life has maybe. Maybe things will get better. Maybe it'll change. So it allows them to see things for what they are, but also stay hopeful. And I believe that the children that are able to embrace maybe will be the ones that will have the strength to go out into the world, even when times are tough and even when they find unexpected things, and still stay hopeful of the world that can be.
That's important. Now I got a little teaching for you. Every time we get into the energy grid of the earth, and we were there in a past life, we have an opportunity to live out, pay for some of the karma, and we have the opportunity to get sick and not pay that karma, or we have the opportunity, if it's a good place, to have extra fun. Sometimes traveling to a new grid, you getting sick is a way you can alleviate your karma from your past life. Every 500 miles you travel, there's a different energetic forces and electromagnetic forces. So maybe you took her to Disney World and she cleared some karma in Florida that maybe she had to go there for 2 years and maybe it wouldn't be so good of a life for her. So, you know,
I like thinking that way. That's really neat.
You know,
and
having lived all over the world in different grids and with different indigenous teachers, I've watched people, healthy people, get a flu or a cold or something, and I've watched their karma dissipate, and I watched them come into a state of grace. And grace is about being in your body, whether you're throwing up or vomiting, and knowing that everything's going to be okay, and not resenting
right.
that you're removing things from your soul, from your body, to move to a higher level of vibration.
Mm-hmm.
So a state of grace is the only thing that really, really obliterates karma. And
right.
it's important. Maybe your daughter went to college in Florida and she would have had two miserable years, but her going to Disneyland and being sick for a few days took that space away from her. And those are teachings of several indigenous tribes, that when you go someplace, you've lived there in a past life, you've done something very good or not so good.
Yeah,
so,
that's really, I'm really fascinated by that. I think that's really interesting. And what's also interesting is that for me, and I think for my daughter on that trip, I don't know if I would have gotten to that place of grace. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't know what you, I love what you just said. But I didn't know that.
But
so,
own way. You got there through maybe.
Well,
I got there
in a cognitive way. You got there, actually. See, to
I
me, it's
to
like.
The teachers told me that. From
right, but that to
places.
Me is the ultimate truth. What you said is just the ultimate truth. And yet, what maybe did it, it's almost like sometimes I think it's like a back door. It's like a cognitive trick that through the back door, I was able to let go and maybe enter into this idea of grace without maybe knowing the entire picture. So
right.
That's really interesting.
Is it a lesson or is it a blessing? It doesn't matter, because both of them open up doorways and open up other paths. Is it a blessing or is it a lesson? It really doesn't matter. When you get a blessing or you get a lesson,
right.
doors open on the other side, windows open, skylights
right.
open, holes in the floor open.
Right.
You know, there are many ways to travel. But if you don't get that you're getting lessons,
right.
and, of course, your gratitude work will show you when you're getting lessons, you can sit there and go, WTF, WTF,
right.
and be
right.
stuck in that place of
right.
ego. Why is this happening to me?
Right.
You know,
because
right.
we're attached, right? We're attached that it's not happening the way we wanted it to. And the reason why we were attached to begin with is that we're afraid we're not okay. Because if ultimately, if we knew we were okay always, a blessing or a blessing, we would just be at peace, right? Because we would say this is just our life rolling out and everything is all right. But we get so afraid when these things come to us that we can't see a blessing. We can't see anything because we're afraid. We're afraid for our children. We're afraid for ourselves. We're afraid what's going to happen. So to find that ease within life, right, to be able to be open enough to see everything for what it really is and not be so scared is really the key to letting go of the attachments.
I think that's correct. And everybody, when you go to www.alisonkarma.com, take a look. And I'm sure out of the 100 blogs she has, there's some title that will attract you and will offer pearls of wisdom to you. I'm really, really impressed, Alison, with your writings. Let me tell you a little story. 1959 and 1960, I hitchhiked through South America all by myself. And I got to a place in Peru, and there was this lady, and she had a withered arm. And then I saw she was holding a baby, and the baby had a withered arm, and I had whatever it was my last $5. I took and I gave that $5 to the woman, and I was doing readings and little different things to earn money to hitchhike and whenever I could wash dishes or whatever, going to the different shamans and exploring South America. I sat down at the park bench and I said, oh my God, you just gave your last $5 or pesos or whatever it was away. What were you thinking? And then all of a sudden, a little boy, maybe 10, with Coke bottle glasses. You remember those glasses?
Yes.
With black
yes.
frames that were 2 inches thick. Sat next to me and he said, you speak English. You look like you're from the United States. And I said, yes, I am. He says, can I practice my English? So we talked a little bit, and he said, what do you do? And I says, I do little readings and some other things. He says, oh, my grandma, her reader just died, and she was just saying, come to my grandma's house. So we go walking along, doo-doo-doo, and the houses kept getting nicer and nicer and nicer. And anyways, his grandma lived in this big mansion. I stayed there for a month. She sent me to her cousin in Uruguay, who in turn sent me to another friend in Paraguay. And I stayed in these beautiful mansions and did readings for their friends and families. They took me into their homes. And when I think about that $5 that I gave the woman with the withered arm and the withered baby with the withered arm, I think that something taught me about trusting that God will take care of me.
Right.
And for me, that was such a foreign concept because of my childhood and everything that it took me like 10 years to get what happened.
Mm-hmm.
That when I released that last piece of security and money, that source put in this great opportunity for me.
Mm-hmm.
So learning to trust is a very, very, very difficult thing.
And I think you're right, and that's such a beautiful story. And that was your moment.
But
that was
I
your
didn't
moment
get it
to,
till 10 years later. Get it? I sat down and went, wow, when did I learn how to trust? And I started going backwards of the movies in my mind, and I said, I trusted when I gave that last $5 away.
Yeah.
And then I got turned into some of the high society of South America. I was like, wow, God certainly took care of me after I gave that woman the money. But sometimes you don't recognize, it being 76 years old, sometimes it takes you a decade or 3 years to recognize a lesson.
Yeah. No, and it's amazing. And that's, I think, what we all ultimately want. I think ultimately we all want to trust the universe. We want to have that faith. But a lot of us don't have it. And so, at first I wasn't even going to share this idea of maybe, because this idea of maybe was my little private thing, because in a way I thought I didn't have faith. So I was using it to get myself through, because I was saying, well, maybe everything will be okay, maybe something else will happen, and it gave me the courage to continue on without the stress and worry. And over time I said, I started to share it with people because people kept coming to me, and they were like, what's different about you? What's going on? So things just changed, but I realized that with this cognitive faith, I kind of call it cognitive faith, but with this idea over time, I have more faith now than I did. I don't have, I think, the trusting that you're speaking about through that experience that you had, but through allowing myself to continue on without the stress and worry, I'm more open and I'm more a possible thinker. So through maybe I've created a type of faith.
Sacred space. We're coming now to the half-hour commercial break. Everyone take a deep breath.
You're listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. Once again, Star Fuentes.
646-716-9663. Allison and I will be answering some of your questions, so give us a call. You've been tapped into by the media. We were talking about, you know, the New York Times and Huffington and all of this. How do you, in your book, getting picked up from being self-published to being published by Penguin, correct?
Yes.
How do you think that all this manifested around you, and if you look at that energy and realize that you're doing something that most people would dream of doing, what can you tell us about how these things occurred for you?
Yeah. It's funny. I know I keep using the same word over and over, but it really was maybe. I stayed in it because I think the story of how the book got bought by a publisher is kind of interesting. It all started one day that, you know, I had found this idea and I was really just playing it with myself, and I was, working with my clients and helping them deal with the uncertainty of their businesses because I have an accounting background. So although I was helping people with their marketing plans and their finance plans and their legal issues, ultimately at the end of the day, when people were afraid of what was going to happen next in their life, or they thought their businesses were going under, their stress and worry was overwhelming, and it was really maybe that allowed them to open up and continue persevering their goals without the stress, without the worry, and more possibility. And one day I had lunch with this someone invited me to lunch, and this person in front of me was a stressed out business guy. He owned a publishing company in London, and they started to ask me about my work, and I shared the idea of the farmer story with them, and they all laughed, and he threw me his card, and he said, you know, when you're ready to write your first book, call me. And I had no idea how to write a book. I just went home, and I was like, oh, that's a good idea. Maybe I'll write a book. And for 6 months, I sat there, and I just wrote this book, and then I sent it to his representative in New York. And after 2 weeks, he called me up, and he said, Allison, you need either an editor or you need to take a writing class because no one ever is going to read this. Now you would think that would be something that would upset somebody or someone would feel really disappointed, but because I was in this idea of this state of maybe and I was so committed to it, I thought to myself, well, maybe, you know, I need to take another approach. Maybe something I need to do something else. So I never got stuck in my idea of how things needed to be. So I was constantly open. So I think energetically I stayed open. I think my actions stayed open, and I just decided to write a book proposal. And I wrote this book proposal, and I called up people I knew who had written books, and I got a bunch of agents' names. I sent it out, and I got an agent quite quickly, but then I got rejected. I got rejected. In the book it says 25 times I got rejected, but actually after the book came out, I actually went through all my emails and I actually counted them, and I got rejected 47 times. And every time the book was rejected, you know, people had different reasons. We love the idea of maybe, but we don't know who Allison Carmen is. We love the idea of maybe, but she has no platform. So instead of getting down and saying, no one's going to like this idea is never going to help anybody, I would say, okay, well, what do I need to do next? What's still possible in this moment? So it was that mindset. And I became a blogger, which I never thought I'd ever do. And actually becoming a blogger was almost a better experience than publishing the book, because I was able to share my work with people all over the world. And so this idea kept me going. It kept me open, and it kept me happy, and it kept me peaceful. And eventually I self-published the book, and then I gave it away for free, and like 30,000 people downloaded it, and I was on the Amazon bestseller list for free books, and things just kept happening. But I think they kept happening because I was always available. And I think that's what happens. I think when something doesn't go our way, we write the story, things aren't working out, and we shut down. And we say, I can't go on. I don't have the strength. This is not working out. We close our businesses down. We don't pursue our goals. So with this idea of maybe I did the opposite. I just kept staying open. And I think that's why I've been so fortunate, is because I didn't shut down at any point in time. And I'm not saying that I'm always in maybe. I have my moments. But when you find your way back to that place, I find you always align back to your path and what's possible.
And I think that's really important. And sometimes when you're in maybe, there are things that become possible that won't become possible if you have a rigid picture.
Yes.
You know, so that's good. It sounds like a wonderful story. I remember when I was 55 years old when I published my first book, and one of my rejection letters said, you're too old. Our company doesn't see a future with you.
Oh, my goodness.
I was like 55, and now I'm 76, and I have got two books at the publishers right now that are, you know, revving up, and I think I'm on book 10 or 11 or 9 or, you know, I'm on so many books now that I don't even know how to count them, you know. And
but that's such a great
story. I remember getting that letter and just my heart sinking, and I says, yeah, and I crushed it up and threw it in the trash, you know. Okay, now.
So you're lucky you had the strength to do that, because there are some people that get that letter, and that's it. They're not going to try again. I mean, they're just going to be like, this is not really working out. So it's amazing that you have the strength to.
What was that little ball that bounced around in the 70s and 80s? What was that ball that bounced so high called?
Super Bowl? No.
Yeah, that's what kind of person I am, you know. I hit the ground, and then I bounce up, and everybody's going, oh, you know. Oh, my God, that's pretty high. You come down lower, you know.
Well, but that's great. That seems to be part of your fabric, or because of the experiences you had, you know, in the early 60s. Who knows? But I think that some people need tools to become, quote-unquote, that super ball. And then you got to fill your box up with these little tools to get you there until you come to the place where you're naturally like that. And that's my hope for everybody, that we build a faith, right?
There's a lot of other different ways to roll in life. You know, you can roll as a basketball, baseball. You can roll as a football. You can roll in many different ways. And as long as it maybe keeps you moving and active, then
right.
It's going to get you to a place, maybe not the place you originally wanted to, but you're not going to be stuck or paralyzed or
right.
or sitting in a place where you can't make a choice.
Right.
So
because suffering is so, to me, it's right now for my life, it's less about the accomplishments and more about that I'm not suffering the way I used to, because everything was suffering. Everything was stress. Everything was worry. And I had no peace. I had no presence. And so for me, that was the biggest gift of them all, that no matter what kind of ball that I was going to be, everything hurt. Everything hurt because I was so afraid all the time. So for me, the fact that I could show up with less emotional suffering and more hope and possibility, it changed so much. And to be present in my life, to be present for my kids and my family and the people I love and care about, to me, those have been the biggest gifts. Right. So it was more about that than the fact that I achieved things. I think I achieved them maybe because of I was having a different emotional experience.
And the website is www.alisoncorman.com, exactly how you think it is spelled. Fear, you know, it's kind of like a sandwich. And, you know, you have your trust, you have your what you're going to think it's going to be, one slice of bread, and all of a sudden you're in the future, and worry is prayer for something you don't want in
right.
the future. And then you're in that meat or whatever's in the middle of the sandwich, and you're all in your fear, and then you go past that, and there's another slice of bread, and bread represents spirit and cash and all that, so it's really important when you're in fear to get out of the middle of the sandwich, to get back who you know you are,
right.
or to your possibilities of maybe, which is the other slice of bread on the outside. So don't get stuck in the middle of worry. And at the end of the day, God hears you. And if you think bills 52 times and cash 10 times, what do you think is going to manifest in your life? Bills. But when you're thinking maybe, when you're thinking maybe, that gives you an opportunity for the positive things to manifest in your life.
Right. It's just that little opening. It's that little opening from that fear-based place where I'm afraid things aren't working out, I can never achieve my goals, and this idea of maybe it's just this little opening. It's like letting a little sun in. And when you give people that little sun, that little opportunity, that little hope to feel that something else could happen other than their worst fear, that's when life really changes. And that's why when we're willing to have the strength maybe to make a different choice or have a different experience or a different thought.
Okay. Now, there's a real serious issue here that we need to talk about. And this serious issue is denial of being in any fear. And many people, you come up and go, how are you today? And they go, I'm fine. And you look at them and you know that they're not fine, right. That there's energy moving in their eyes, clouds going over their eyes, right. There's energy gray spots in their aura, and there's worry gathered around their head like thunder clouds. And there's a whole space before maybe. There's this, before you even are scared, and there's this whole space where you deny being scared. And this whole place of rigidity, would you rather feel nothing than feel fear, than feel incomplete, than feel like you can't do your dreams. And there's many, many people who will say, oh, my God, that woman's so fearful or so star. I'm never that scared. Right. I want to ask you, if you're out there thinking that, are you numb? Are you numb? Are you numb to your fears? Are you numb to being worried about life? So pay attention, people, that sometimes you can be in denial of your fear, and sometimes you can be so numb that you don't even know that you're worrying. And that is a whole other group of people to deal with, right, Allison?
No, you're absolutely right. Do you know when I first read Norman Vincent Peale's book, The Power of Positive Thinking, which is very God-based, actually. And I was like, I'm going to only be a positive thinker. I'm only going to have positive thoughts. And when a negative thought would come up during the day, no, I'm not having that thought. I'm a positive thinker. I went through the entire day like that. That night I went to sleep, and I had a dream that my mother-in-law died, my father-in-law died, my mother died, my father died. I woke up frightened, fell back to sleep. I had the exact same dream. It never happened to me before, but I realized what was happening is I wasn't allowing myself to feel what I was feeling. And I think one of the most important things in life is to allow that. And I think that when you allow that, it's an expression. It's a release. Even if it feels horrible, even if it's fear-based, even if you're scared, you're allowing it, like you said, to get out of, you're not stuck. You think you're stuck because you're having that fear, but what you're really doing is just expressing it and allowing the energy to pass. And what maybe is, you're absolutely right, when you're allowing it to pass, the idea of maybe is it's a place you can go when you're done. Not when you're done, also when you're ready. You have to feel what you're feeling. If you feel sad, you feel angry, you feel frustrated, and knowing maybe is there will allow you, maybe you'll say to yourself at what point, maybe there's something else. Maybe I could feel something else. Maybe this will change. So it's a platform that you could end up at, but you first have to allow yourself to feel what's real. Because if not, you're going to hold it in like I did that one day. And holding it in is the cause we know of more fear, of more numbness, of illness, of things you don't want.
And stroke and heart disease.
Heart disease, absolutely.
And stroke, holding it in. So
yeah.
I look at the thousands and thousands of metaphysical clients I have in the nation and friends and people who were students and now were teachers, and there was a big sickness called DA going around, and they had think 10-15% of their day positive thoughts and maybe 1% negative thoughts, and then they don't think anything at all. They suppress it. And I said, well, I had a cup of coffee and I looked out the window for an hour. What did you do? I spent 3.5 hours today on Facebook, et cetera. And there's this whole place where maybe is a space to be, but duh is a place where nothing, no activity, no exchange between the earth, no exchange between you and source is going on.
Right.
And the place of maybe is a place that is active. That there's yes, there's no, there's maybe, there's new answers. But the place of da, you're not present in your body, you're not in the now, I ask people who, women who stay home all day, and I say, well, what do you do with your day? I get up at breakfast, I clean the house, and then I go, my God, they clean the house, they have a maid to clean the house. They cannot possibly spend their 16 waking hours. And they're leaving their body, and they're doing the da.
You say da, D-A? Is that what you're saying?
D-U-H, da, you know, like
oh, duh.
Yeah, duh, that duh. You know, the illness of duh.
The duh, you're right, you're so right. And we do this, why? We do it because we don't want to feel what we're feeling, right?
And we don't want to admit our fear. We don't want to admit our excitement because we get excited and it doesn't happen, oh, my God.
Right. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right, and it's something I see more and more of, the avoidance of what we're feeling, and it's important that we feel. It's important, but, you know, but why don't we want to feel? We don't want to feel because, again, we're scared. We're scared we're not okay. We're scared that if we have that life's not okay, so I'm feeling afraid. Well, I can't feel afraid. Life's, I'm not okay, so I'm feeling frustrated. So there's a feeling that's deeper than the actual expression of the fear. It's what? I'm not safe. I'm not safe. And it's a difficult thing for me in my life, maybe allowed it because it made me realize that I'm feeling this and maybe it'll pass and maybe things are still okay. To me, maybe things are still okay was very powerful for me because it allowed me to feel what I was feeling, but still knew at the same time know that my life had hope and possibility. So it's allowing with hope at the same time. It's like I always say maybe is non-attachment with hope.
I guess, and maybe isn't a lot of expectation either, you know, which is another thing that can drag us down, our expectations.
Right.
So
yeah, because
I imagine,
maybe you could have a goal, but you realize it could happen many different ways. So it softens that expectation piece, I think.
So do you live in New York City?
I do. I live in New York City, not so far from Alan Steinfeld.
I've known Alan for 20 years. He's wonderful. So you live in New York City. You have two beautiful girls. You blog. You have your gratitude practice. You have your maybe practice. And life seems very shiny for you. We have a few minutes left. And if you were to give a message to people out there that is a significant message to them, what would you like to say?
Yeah. I'd say this idea that I've been sharing, this idea of maybe, it sounds so simple that you're just, it's one little word, but it's very powerful in your life when you're feeling stuck and you're feeling pain and you're feeling like things can't change. And this little word comes to you. And it really changes everything because it allows you to realize that maybe you're not stuck, that maybe everything that happened in your past doesn't matter anymore, and maybe the future things will be better than you think. And it just allows you to fill your life with hope and possibility and have the courage and strength to pursue your dreams and also get to know who you are. And like we talked about, allow yourself to feel and know even when you're feeling something, that'll change too. So it's one little word and it sounds so simple, but it's so profound not to experience such a deep level of emotional pain every day.
I think that you've given people a key, that you've given people a space to be that will open up doorways, and also a space where you can feel what you need to feel. I think this
I hope maybe
gateway.
Maybe I did.
Maybe you did. Maybe you didn't. But the possibility for it to be a magical gateway for people. Are you doing any workshops that we need to know about or anything special?
Right now, I've just completed a bunch. I'm trying to think what's going on. I have a piece that's going to be coming out in Inc. magazine at the end of the week, which I'm excited about, and just writing a lot. My blog is actually a great way to keep up with my work, and I write, you know, about things other than maybe. I write about parenting and how people deal with everyday stress and worry, and like we talked about, gratitude and anger. And so it's really, if people are interested in my work, my blog site is really a great place for them to check it out.
And what is the website again?
It's AllisonCarman.com.
Thank you, Allison. I want everybody to take a deep breath there and just look and feel, sense the courage that Allison had this lifetime to to come out with this very important space and place. How simple yet how profound her teaching is. And I would really like for you to go to her website and read some of her blogs. And you don't have to read everyone. Read the ones that interest you. She's got hundreds of them. And get to know her better, because she actually can be a gift in your life, and a gift that will get you unstuck, that will get you unparalyzed, that will get you moving forward, and maybe is an appropriate step to that. Allison, there's some videos on your website, and I know there's one with Alan and a couple other people. Is there anyone in particular that you'd recommend for us?
Well, Alan and I just did a new one, which I didn't put on my website, but you can catch it on New Realities. And we just filmed it a couple of months ago. It was really great. We got to film it at the YouTube studios. Alan was able to film there. And I think it was really, out of all the interviews that I've done, I think it was very current, and we talked a lot about parenting and hardships. Because a lot of people always say sometimes, like, where's the maybe? My life's not working out. Where's the maybe? I'm going through a really tough time. And I always say that, you know, life has hardships, but maybe just allows you to come to the moment and say what's still possible in this present moment to still experience. So we had a really great conversation. I think people would really benefit from watching that.
I think they would, too. Is that your little doggy in the snow picture?
No, it's not. He was so cute, though. I decided I don't personally know the dog, but it was just
It did look so cute. He's so comfortable in snow, which is like something that I would think I wouldn't want to lay like that in the snow. But the dog is unconditionally laying in the snow, which will teach us something about our own selves. All right, so everybody take a deep breath. The Gift of Maybe by Allison Carmen. All right, so I'm going to talk a little bit about what I am doing. And what I'm doing is tomorrow I have a webinar on cash, and you can find that at the starfuentes.com website, and you can find the link and be able to pay for it and get the handout for the class tomorrow. I still have a few spots left open. I am working on a major project, and it's called the E8. And, of course, I'm going to think of a better, interesting, more fancy name for that. And it's the theory of everything, and it is going to blow your mind what we talk about spiritually and energetically in the highest new realm of physics. And that is going to be a five-hour-plus class, and I'm looking so forward to doing that. On my website, masteryourlight.com, I have free things to do, treasure maps, quizzes, tests. I have video, audio. I have workshops. I have journals. I have things you can buy, things you can listen to, and things you can watch. I want to remind you, as metaphysical and spiritual beings, that give what you want to receive. If you're a practitioner out there and you want clients and you want paying clients, then you need to use your discretion and use your discernment and pick the appropriate teachers for you and participate with them like you would like students to participate with you. Give what you want to receive. I've studied with so many teachers. I'm certified in 62 different things. I still take webinars. I still read books. And I still get a certification every year at 76 years old, because I know that there is a lot to learn out there, and more importantly, a lot experience. When we bring people like Allison here, we open up all of our energies to have a new way to feel, look, and sense life, and new way to categorize our experiences and to make life easier, gentler for ourselves. Allison is a very brave woman. She took something very simple, and she put it out there over and over again till people realized, even though this is very simple, it works. Pay attention to her. Because many of us in our teachings and our mastery get lost in making things complicated. Please remember that at some points in time in our life, that less is more. Take a deep breath. Allison, would you like to lead a minute meditation before we sign off the air here?
Just a mindful meditation or a...
Anything that Spirit tells you to do, you have about 2 minutes to do it in.
Okay. Well, I'd like to leave with a maybe meditation. I think that if there's something that's bothering you, if there's something that's causing you fear, write that down or think about that statement. I'm never going to get another job. What's going to happen with my child? How are they going to work things out? Whatever your worst fear is, and ask yourself, are you absolutely certain that statement's true? And most often we're not certain. We're not certain that life's not going to change. We're not certain that things aren't going to work out. So when you realize that you're not certain that that thing you fear the most is true, write down these maybe statements. Maybe everything is okay. Maybe things will get better. And if it's a specific thing you're dealing with, like a job, maybe I'll get another job. Maybe it's good that I'm not working at this place anymore. Maybe there's something else. Maybe I'm still okay. And write these things over and over and over again, even if it takes you 20 minutes. I can almost guarantee that you'll feel a little lighter. You'll feel a little pop in your chest because you'll recognize that thing you were fearing. Yes, it could happen, but maybe something else could happen. Maybe there's a larger place for you to stand. And maybe you just can't see what's going to happen next. But just because you can't see it doesn't mean that things aren't going to work out for you or things aren't going to get better. And it's a beautiful exercise to do every day when you're worried about something or you just can't let something go. And I just hope that it helps you on a daily basis continuously let go and stay in a place of less fear and more hope and possibility.
Thank you, Allison Carmen at AllisonCarmen.com. And good night to all.
On behalf of Spiritual Connections Radio, thank you for listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Please join us again next week for another enlivening episode. For more information on Star's classes or services, visit her website at www.starfuentes.com or call the office at 501-609-0660. That's 501-609-0660.